What animals do you typically see in the city? Birds? Insects? Well, urban rewilding aims to reintroduce reptiles and mammals into cities. But what does this look like and what are its benefits? Here to explain more is Patrick Vinity, postdoctoral research fellow in the School of Life and Environmental Sciences at the University of Sydney. To tell us more about it, thanks for joining us this morning. Pat, how are you this morning?
Good, Cameron. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. So what exactly is urban rewilding? Will we be seeing crocodiles crossing the street and sugar gliders soaring between skyscrapers? Is that kind of what we're envisioning?
not quite. So urban rewilding is a kind of term that's spun off from rewilding as a term that was first coined in the late 1990s in America. And the most classic example of rewilding that people may be aware of was the reintroduction of wolves into Yellowstone National Park in the States. And these wolves had an amazing impact on reducing what was overabundant herbivore populations, which then saw changes to vegetation and ecosystem function more broadly in this park. But since that first example of species reintroduction, we've seen rewilding take multiple different forms. And in an urban context, it is quite similar. We're looking at the reintroduction of species, smaller species, you know, small mammals and reptiles or birds or whatever it may be, into urban parklands and patches. So not big national parks, but, you know, these green spaces we see in our cities. Now, to date, cities have gone through a lot of greening. You know, we're seeing green roofs or the improvement of park spaces and whatnot. And this has been really fantastic in terms of the rehabilitation of habitat or benefits to pollination, etc. But a lot of these habitats are left kind of absent of a number of species that can't get there on their own because of these heavily fragmented aspects of cities, whether that's roads and railways. So in terms of rewilding here, we're talking about the active reintroduction of some of these smaller species back into our cities. Yeah.
And why aren't animals thought about when nature restoration is planned for cities?
Well, I suppose they are in a sense. So when nature restoration happens in cities, you know, in our corridors or on roofs, like I talked about, people think a lot about the plants they're planting, whether they're, you know, to improve pollination or to attract birds or bats or beetles. So they are thought about in terms of that aspect. But what some oversight people have is that a lot of species, you know, our smaller mammalian species, our native rats and our lizards and all of these species that hold a number of really important ecosystem functions, whether that's digging or seed dispersal or even scavenging of carrion, these animals can't get there on their own. They can't cross these roads. They can't go through railways. Cities are really tricky places for these species. So what we're kind of positioning or posing is that we need to actively bring these species back to these areas. So it's not an oversight of these kind of people greening cities. It's more kind of working with them to helping to bring these lost species back into our cities.
And what is the importance of bringing these animals into urban spaces?
Right. So there's a number of importances here. Whether that's ecologically, in some of our parks and reserves, we're seeing pollination levels not be their optimal, and a lot of small mammalian species can help this. Mammalian species are really good at turning soil over. They're really good diggers. They can move seeds around. As I talked about, they're really good at getting rid of kind of the rubbish, removing carrion and recycling nutrients in these ecosystems. So bringing back these species can not only improve the species recovery, but also improve the ecosystem as a whole. And we know that healthier ecosystems are more resilient to future changes. So that's one importance of urban rewilding. But I suppose the second one is getting people connected with green spaces, getting people back out into nature and excited to see these species. What we're seeing globally is a growing lack of connection with nature. People are experiencing what we're calling nature deficit disorder. They're just not getting out into green spaces as much as they used to. And because of this, we're seeing kind of a flow-on impact to people's mental and physical health. Just even looking out a window and seeing green space has shown to have multiple benefits to your well-being. So in urban rewilding, getting people excited about the reintroduction of species, whatever they may be, into these patches and getting them out and involved in these processes not only helps the ecology of the ecosystems, but people's well-being. So, yeah, so kind of a twofold importance there, Cameron.
And I suppose my next question is, why bring these animals into urban spaces when they have habitats elsewhere?
Yeah, sure. Great question. So I suppose bringing animals back into cities is not only for the species recovery, but as I said, for people's well-being as well. But the question of, you know, they have habitat elsewhere, why bring them in? Well, yeah, it's a good point. I suppose cities are undergoing pretty rapid improvements to green spaces, like you pointed out. And because of this, a lot of people are working along the idea of if you build it, they will come, just the natural recolonization of these green spaces. But it's just not happening because of what I talked about, this cities are hard places to move through. So we need to start bringing them back ourselves, and whether that's going into areas where some of these species may be in populations too abundant or whatever it may be, and bringing them back into cities is the important point here. And I suppose a point I want to touch on is in our kind of urban rewilding context in Sydney itself, we're specifically looking at common species for this idea of keeping common species common. So although they might be pretty prevalent elsewhere outside of cities, bringing them back into cities and getting their populations at a stable level will help these species stay common. And that's something we really need to be conscious of.
And I suppose a bit of a selfish question, I suppose, is how does having these animals in the city benefit humans? I mean,
Yeah, great question. Well, I suppose it depends on the human, but you know, if in my backyard or in national parks or parkland surrounding where I live, if I knew there was projects that are bringing back, you know, eastern pygmy possums or platypus or beautiful little bush rats or whatever it may be, I'd be pretty excited to get out there and involved and wanting to go and see these creatures. And because of that, then I'm outside, right? And there's a ton of benefits from just being outside, like I touched on before. So it's not a selfish question at all. We really want to get people excited about getting out there and potentially seeing these animals and just in green spaces and appreciate the beautiful cities we live in.
I suppose I have two more questions for you before I let you go, Pat. So my first one is,
sure.
What parts of urban areas is rewilding happening, or where is it usually done, and what do we need to do to make urban rewilding successful?
Great question. So it's very variable, and across the world we've seen it pretty contextual, all the way through to tiny little urban parklands in Perth, for example, where they've reintroduced a quenda, which is a small little digging animal, all the way through to Rio de Janeiro, where there's this big national park that borders really hard urban reserves in Brazil, where they've brought back small kind of rodent species and a few monkeys. And then if we go to London, we've seen the reintroduction of beavers up in London into their waterways. And these beavers have been extinct in London for over 400 years. So there's no hard and fast rule here. As long as the habitat's in a good enough state and you go through the due diligences of making sure these animals will do okay, there's no specific size these patches need to be in. So, yeah, it's a good question. Yeah.
And then I suppose the last question I have is, what do we need to do to make urban rewilding successful?
Ah, right. Okay. So there's a number of factors here you need to consider. The first kind of pillar you need to make sure of is habitat suitability. Bringing these species back, it can be risky, and we want to ensure the best chances of species survival. And in doing so, we need to make sure that the habitat is good enough for these species to live in. So that's everything to do with food availability, habitat availability, and potential predator avoidance as well. These animals are under constant threats of, in Australia in particular, of foxes and cats. So making sure their habitat is suitable for them, for their survival and breeding is key. And that could be supplemented with things like artificial habitats or supplementary feeding. So that's kind of the ecological pillar you need to make sure of. The second pillar is social acceptability. These things are happening in cities with people, you know, literally in their backyards or adjacent to their backyards. So we need to make sure that the species we're selecting in to bring them back into cities are appropriate for people's day-to-day lives. You know, in Sydney, you talk about bringing crocodiles back or potentially dingoes, and obviously that won't fly in a city landscape, not only ecologically, but socially as well. So species selection is key there. And a third pillar of importance, especially in Australia, is the incorporation of Indigenous knowledge systems into species selection as well. These people have been here for millennia, and incorporating their really in-depth knowledge of ecological systems is essential to ensure the success of urban rewilding projects. Yeah.
Fantastic. Pat, thank you so much for joining me this morning. It was a great chat.
Thanks, Cameron. Good to chat.
That was Pat Finnerty, postdoctoral research fellow in the School of Life and Environmental Sciences at the University of Sydney, talking to us about how urban rewilding is beneficial for both humans and animals.